Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. My next guest doesn't need a introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. It's Paul Feinbaum, New York Times bestselling author and ESPN commentator from the Feinbaum Show, at Feinbaum on X. Paul, how's it going?
It is going great, Gabe. Thanks so much for inviting me back.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you, and I'm glad the city of Memphis invites you back. That's fantastic. We have you on the Memphis Touchdown Club coming up on Monday.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I won't bore the audience with my love affair with Memphis, other than the fact I was born there. It's always remarkable to come back after all these years, and it's a very special place for me and in my life.
Yeah, now let me ask you this: from when it comes to high schools, do you claim Christian Brothers, or you go Brothers Boy, or are you White Station alum, or are you both? I mean, how do you sort through that?
I claim both. And by the way, I mean, it's a story that's understandable, but I went to Christian Brothers and loved it. And except my second year there, my father died unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And everything changed in my life. And I ended up going to White Station, which really the best part about that was the education at CBHS was so good that I really barely went to school at White Station. I'd already taken almost all the credits.
that's all right. I mean, that seems to work out. Now, NFL draft was last night. Did you enjoy that? Looked like we had a ridiculous run on offensive players. That was absolutely insane. And then we had Michael Penix at 8. Did you enjoy the NFL draft last night?
Yeah, I mean, I've covered a few of them as recently as 2 years ago, and it is an amazing sight. I was in Vegas. There were like a half a million people outside. And I think it's great for the sport. I think what I don't like is just this endless chatter about the draft. And after listening and having both of us having interviewed millions of experts, not one person had Michael Penix going that early. So I think the expertise of people, including those that work at the same place I do, are overrated, but it is quite a spectacle.
Yes, I mean we've gotten to the point where the NFL draft is just broken down all off season. But what did you think of that pick, though, ultimately by the Falcons there at 8, Michael Penix Jr.? I thought that he sort of raised his stock as they got into day one of the draft with the Players Tribune article and everything else, and he was phenomenal last year. At Washington, getting them to a national championship. He's a winner, no doubt. But 8 overall, when they paid Kirk Cousins 4 years, what was it, $180 million? What did you ultimately make of that pick?
Well, I mean, the same people made that decision that talked the owner of the team, Arthur Blank, out of hiring Bill Belichick. So, I mean, I don't think they have any clue what they're doing, because frankly,
right.
I think Bill Belichick would have been a lot better than whatever the name of the coach is that they hired. I've already forgotten. and it's just you can't make decisions like that. There's no sense to it. Penix is a good quarterback, but I didn't even think he was a first round pick. So you can tell I thought it was a ridiculous pick.
Yep. Now let's get into a little bit of college football, and I'm just going to ask this point blank, period. What's the biggest issue ailing college football at this moment?
Well, it's really the portal, and the fact that there's just no rhyme or reason to what happens. And people make too much out of NIL. NIL has at least a method to the madness. Everybody gets something. But the portal is where you cash in the big chips. And we know that there's no legislation and there's no enforcement, but it puts an enormous amount of pressure. That doesn't bother me. I don't care that the coaches have to work hard. I mean, they're all making $8 to $12 million a year. So, you know, try telling that to somebody working at a tire plant. But to me, it's just, there's a level of chaos. It's also really interesting because you can turn a program around pretty quickly with a couple of key pickups. But I think what we really have now in college football is two super leagues, and that's the SEC and the Big Ten. And quite frankly, nobody else matters a whole lot when it comes to the national championship.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to the portal, we have, lawsuits. We have the court ruling that you can, transfer without issue. That's why we had issues with Caden Proctor this offseason going to Iowa. And ultimately transferring back out without playing a practice or a game or anything like that. I think he was there for, 57 days. With that, how do we fix it? It feels like the only way to fix that is by going employer-employee, that type of relationship, moving that direction.
I mean, I think that is going to happen. Not immediate, but that probably is the only way. Remember last year, everybody talked about we need Congress to fix it. Well, most people said that was laughable, and it is. It's not happening. So I think down the road we'll get to that point, but I see a lot more carnage before we get there because I don't really see how the NCAA is still going to be in business because they're about to lose a couple of billion-dollar lawsuits, and I don't know how they pay the bills and stay in business. I mean, and quite frankly, the only thing they really do is they put on baseball tournaments and basketball tournaments. And by the way, they do a great job of running those. They just do a terrible job of running the sports.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt at all. Now, let me ask you this. This has been sort of a conversation the past week, and really it's being facilitated by realignment and the amount of, monetary difference and TV deals between the Power Four, whatever we want to call it at this point, because the Pac-12 is no longer, and the Group of Five. There are some people, talking about a Group of Five playoff being a separate championship. How do you feel about that, and do you think that has any legs to it? And also, do you think that would be, watchable? Do you think people would latch onto that even a little bit?
I think it's a good idea, and I don't want to, come off like I'm in some SEC ivory tower by saying that the Group of Five really has limited position in a tournament, but I think they do. And it's one thing to win a bowl game like Tulane did against Southern Cal. It's another thing to win games in the past like Boise and others have. But ultimately, it's going to be extremely difficult. So I think if they could come up with an idea. Now, the question is, will anybody watch it?
Right.
I suspect they will. You put a college football game on in December and amazingly, just absolutely miserable bowl games get an audience. Now, you just can't make it too big. I think if it was limited, I think there would be interest. I think if you balloon it up and discount the value, I think people will tune out. But I think you better be careful though, because we still don't know what it's going to be like this December. I mean, all of a sudden, what you normally watch the bowl game starting on about the 15th or 18th of December, you're going to be getting first round. College football playoff games, and that is a difficult time of the year. I mean, nobody in the past, nobody wanted a pre-Christmas bowl game for a reason. People have better things to do the week before Christmas, like shop.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure you'll get asked this when you get into town, but my alma mater just made the University of Memphis just made a an unbelievable, I think relatively revolutionary sort of changed their NIL situation. They've gotten FedEx to pledge $5 million in NIL over the next 5 years. They're asking for a 50% match as far as donors are concerned. So that would be $2.5 million. I just sort of want to discuss this on the surface level, though. Is that amount of money on par with the Power Four, considering what you hear around the country from some of these Power Four programs. $5 million per year, mostly spent on football. How close is that to competing with some of those teams sort of in the middle of the pack with the SEC and the Big Ten?
I mean, I think it's competitive, and I think it's phenomenal. And I really think a lot of folks are raving about what Memphis has done there. But, no, it doesn't compare to Ohio State or Alabama or Ole Miss. But it's competitive, though, with the type of schools that Memphis is competing with. And I think it gives them a leg up, and I think it will – I think it's one of the more positive things I've seen from that program in some time.
Yeah. Now, heading into next year, can I talk you into Ryan Silverfield and Memphis being the representative for the Group of Five in the 12-team playoff? How do we feel about that?
Hey, I think it's possible. And listen, I want to say this because I was on this station a couple of years ago pretty critical of the decision to keep him. And I think it turned out to be a great decision to stay with him. When the easy thing, and quite frankly, I might have pulled the plug, and I think he showed last year what he's capable of, and I was really happy for it. So I think it is possible, yes. I think Memphis is in a good spot, and I think the program feels like it's really clicking down the road well at the moment.
Yes, I look at it, and really what it comes down to, especially at this level, obviously the NIL money helps to a certain extent, but roster retention is so damn important for these types of schools, because you'll have guys that get out, and they had a D-tackle recently, Jarre Anderson, go to Arizona, but keeping guys on your roster, the Seth Hennigans of the world, the Rock Taylors of the world, the Demir Blankumsees of the world, keeping those guys on campus is so massive for schools like Memphis, correct?
Yes, it is, and I think it can be done. However you take my comments a minute ago about the Power Five, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. To me, this has always been a program that I thought deserved better. I really believe strongly that it was Memphis would have been an excellent Big 12 school, and I think that's always been a little bit, for some reason it's just never quite gotten the credit. But I think a run here, I think a couple of years ago, 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I think we were close to it, and I think maybe last season has put Memphis back in a spot to do it again. And I think it can be a powerhouse. It should be a powerhouse, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Now I don't need a fan favorite answer here, and I know what our audience thinks about this, but when it comes to getting into a power conference, like what does Memphis have to look forward to now? Like, what if you're sort of projecting them trying to get to that next level, get into that sort of super league, if you will, try to get into the Power Five, Power Four, what do they have to look forward to, or is that really not on the horizon?
I think it's possible. All the talk about the Big 12, I frankly thought the ACC would have been wise to take Memphis last year instead of SMU. I never bought the SMU play. And I think another opportunity could open because, not to tell you anything you don't know, but the ACC is in trouble. And I think it's very likely that they're going to get hit in a year or two, and lose a couple of schools. And I think that's an opportunity. I think from a basketball standpoint, it would be phenomenal for Memphis. Football, I think they would also – they would fare pretty well. So, I mean, I think the ACC is something to keep your eye on.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to, like, pulling out that crystal ball, what do you think happens with the ACC?
Well, I think Florida State and Clemson will ultimately be let go because I think the legal issues are going to be too embarrassing. And there's another possibility that it could blow up altogether. And I know everybody wants to know, well, who would the SEC take? Well, I don't think the SEC is all that crazy about – Florida State and Clemson. So I think if it does implode, it's a matter of how is it put back together again? And I think that's where Memphis would come in.
Mm-hmm. Now, first year we're looking at here with Texas and Oklahoma heading to the SEC. How do you think those teams fare in college football this year?
I think Texas is in much better shape. I've been to both campuses recently, and Texas is going to have a top 4, top 5 team coming back. I mean, they got Quinn Ewers, they got Arch Manning, obviously, as a backup. They've got talent across the board. Oklahoma is in a little worse shape. I think 9 wins is probably at the high end of Oklahoma. So I think the SEC, it's not so much that the league is the attrition that you face in going through the league that neither of those schools have gone through in the Big 12.
And what does strike me about those two schools is, I mean.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
2-3 years ago when Lincoln Riley was at Oklahoma, you would have thought Oklahoma was the more SEC ready, but that's flipped on its head completely.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think last night was a good example of that. Don't forget, Caleb Williams started at Oklahoma. I was in Norman last weekend, and they're really glad to have gotten rid of Lincoln, but it took about a it was a bad breakup, though. It took a while to get over that, but I think ultimately, though, Oklahoma can return. I mean, it is. I don't need to remind anybody about the greatness of that program's history and how easily they can come back.
Mm-hmm. Now, a two-part question before I let you roll. And I have to start here. Nick Saban on air. Did you get to catch any of the ABC broadcasts? He's phenomenal on air. He is awesome.
I did. I still think, and I said this when he got hired, I still think he'd be better in the booth, though. Mm-hmm. Because he's so smart about the game, and as somebody who has sat on that game day set briefly, it's hard to get your point in, Gabe, because there's so much chaos going on. But yeah, as good as he was, and I only saw a couple of minutes of it, Belichick may have even been more impressive last night. Yeah. This guy will be a star on TV in a most unconventional way, which, by the way, is where TV is at the moment.
And Bill was open and honest about every prospect that came across his I mean, he was not holding back about any quarterback prospect, was he?
No, but that's what I mean. Listen, you know, why is Pat McAfee popular? Why are certain other people popular on television? Because they're different. The consumer is tired of the same predictable comments that they get in most places.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Nick Saban, how insane is it not having him in college football? I mean, obviously he leaves behind a ridiculous legacy that, shoes to fill by Kalen DeBoer. I'll get to him in a second. But it feels like it's going to be a experience. Not having him in college football, not having him coach college football, especially at Alabama.
Yeah, listen, I my career started I picked up Saban 17 years ago in Alabama when I worked there, and even coming to the SEC, I haven't gone a day without talking about Nick Saban. It is utterly bizarre to see him sitting on a TV set. I know who the Alabama coach is, but sometimes it's easy to forget.
Mm-hmm.
It's Caleb DeBoer.
Yeah. And what do you think about like the changes with that program? It feels like it's a little looser. And I think there's some Alabama fans. You saw Roll Tide Willie showed up to practice, and they feel a type of way about it. But Nick Saban probably wouldn't have allowed certain things like that. But it just feels like a change in thought process, and that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I think it's totally different. But for all the people praising DeBoer, saying he's a player's coach, that's not really what wins national championships. Mm-hmm. But it is different. I know a number of players who really feel good about it. But having covered the transition of Bear Bryant 41 years ago, these things are not easy. I don't care who your coach is. DeBoer will – He has a very good team, but as soon as he loses a big game, he will be in for something he's never encountered before.
Mm-hmm. Now, last thing for Paul Feinbaum from the Feinbaum Show, New York Times bestselling author. He's on X at Feinbaum. I know you sort of answered it a little bit just a second ago, but what is your belief in Kalen DeBoer? How much do you believe in him and the job he can do at Alabama and keeping them at the level that Nick Saban had them at?
I don't think there's any way he can keep them at that level. It's virtually impossible. I think he's a very good coach. I think if the two of us were conducting the coaching search, we may have landed on him as well, because of Dan Lanning and Steve Sarkisian turning it down because they got big raises thanks to Jimmy Sexton. but ultimately, just because he was maybe the second or third best coach in the country on the day that he was hired, that doesn't make, that won't make him successful. There's no way anybody can replicate what Saban did during his tenure. And I think the biggest wild card is the 12-team playoff. We're no longer talking about just getting to the playoffs. It's easier to get to the playoffs, but the danger of, let's say, losing a first-round game, being upset. I mean, just ask John Calipari what that's like.
Right, and we're talking about already going to 14 teams. How do you feel about that?
I don't. It doesn't matter much at this point. I think that would. It's still going to be the same number of weeks overall. So I mean, I'm for it. I mean, I think. Listen, the NFL is the greatest sport around, and they keep adding games, and more people keep watching.
Mm-hmm. Now, the only thing I have is we haven't seen a 12-team playoff, and it just seems strange that we're immediately trying to go to 14. But most of this. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. It feels like it's strong-arming from the powers that be, the SEC and the Big Ten.
It is, and it's television-related. And they are probably going to make that decision. But it's about petty stuff, but it's also about the fact that 3 years ago when the CFP agreed to go to 12 and then the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 decided – to block it over pettiness of Oklahoma and Texas coming in, those feelings were never repaired, and I think you're getting some get back here.
Yeah, well, Paul, I appreciate how kind you've been with your time. Can't wait till Monday, but appreciate it, Paul. Hopefully, we can do it again soon.
Gabe, the pleasure was mine. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. That's Paul Feinbaum, ESPN commentator. You know him. He doesn't need an introduction or an outro, but I'll give it to you anyway. Feinbaum Show on ESPN, on SEC Network, and Sirius XM Channel 81 from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 2-6 Central Time. He is on X at Feinbaum. Now, the Loose Diamond event is going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Lowest prices on hundreds of loose natural diamonds, all shapes, sizes, cuts, clarity, and for all budgets. This Thursday to Saturday, it's already going on right now. It will end tomorrow. But it's at the Robert Irwin Jewelers Diamond Showroom on Perkins, extended across from Novel Booksellers. It's a great time to get a diamond engagement ring. They have a huge selection at Robert Irwin Jewelers, so make sure that you check it out. And with the Loose Diamond event, the selection they have is absolutely supersized. They've tried to pick out great choices for you, so take advantage of it. You can get 0% interest for 60 months or 20% off during this event. Plus, every diamond engagement ring purchase comes with a free men's wedding band. And upgrades are welcome. The Loose Diamond and Bridal event at Robert Irwin Jewelers is a great time to upgrade your original diamond engagement ring to something bigger and brighter. Or maybe you want to upgrade your diamond stud earrings. Just bring in your old earrings, trade them in, and get a bigger and brighter pair. The Loose Diamond and Bridal event going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers this Thursday through Saturday at the Robert Irwin Jewelers Diamond Showroom on Perkins, extended across from Novel Booksellers. Going on right this second, so get over there. For complete details, go to rijewelers.com, bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers. Now it's time to go ahead and do a little thing that we like to call the Blitz, and I'm going to give you a couple of winners and a couple of losers from the NFL draft last night from night one, round one, and then also we have some NFL news, and it has to do with trying to reduce concussions. Looks like guardian caps, things they wear during training camp, have been cleared for regular season action. I'll tell you what I think about that next.